You're listening to The Bridge Young Adult Ministry at Eagle Mountain Church.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for every person that's in here. Lord, I thank you that we are all here of divine appointment. Lord, you set a message upon my heart. I believe it's for every single one of us in here. Heavenly Father, take us on a journey. Give us a new perspective. Give us new vision for the person that's sitting next to us, the people we haven't met yet, people we have met. Lord, I thank you that my words flow clearly. Lord, I thank you that you lead me throughout this service, that I'm led of you. Give me wisdom, give me utterance. And Lord, just help me present it in an easy to receive way. Lord, we love you. We have high expectation for where you're taking us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so now how are y'all doing? Good. Before we go any further, like Nicole said, Kevin and Allie are on a much-needed vacation and break with their two amazing little girls and thoroughly enjoying it. They send their love. Thank you guys for letting me come up here and minister to you all. It's a huge honor. I'd be more than thrilled to have them back for next month, but for now, we're running the show, so I'm okay with that. When Kevin and I were going back and forth regarding tonight a couple months ago, he called me and let me know, hey, we got the go for this. You know, this is what we're going to be doing. I said, okay. He said, what do you think you're going to be doing? At that point, I kind of had an idea. I said, we'll do this message. And it was, I'm not going to lie, it sounded really cool. I was even thinking this would be awesome. I might even get people jumping out of their chairs. We could start running around the room, and this is one of those moments. I'm thinking, this would be really cool. We can do this. We'll do the worship like this. And I'm like, okay, we'll talk about it more. At the time, I was out of town. I was at a seminar. And, of course, within 24 hours, I had to call Kevin back up again. I said, hey, you remember everything we talked about yesterday, all that cool stuff? He said, yeah. I said, forget all about it because we're not doing it. He's like, oh, okay. I said, I'll call you later. We'll touch base on it. I said, okay. And so I called him about a week later. I said, look, I said, this is what I have on my heart. And I really didn't even know how to say it at the time. And it really took me a while to kind of get a vision for it. If you know me, you know that really the best way to get through to me is through sports. And the Lord knows that too, so he had to explain it to me in that way. How many of y'all have ever been to any type of sporting event? Anybody? Okay, that's pretty much everyone in the room. This is extremely popular in high school and collegiate games, and it's starting to carry over into professional games now. I don't know if you've ever seen it, where maybe it's homecoming weekend, or they're in the playoffs. In order to get everyone together, everyone wears the same color. If it's white, it's white. A lot of times in high school, you have a blackout game where everyone wears black, and it's just a sea of black, and you got the team. And that was the image the Lord dropped in my heart for this. I'm like, okay, how does that have anything to do with what we're going to talk about? I can't call it blackout. That sounds really depressing for a message. I'm not going to do that. And I talked with Kevin. I said, this is what I see. I said, I'm seeing the body of Christ as, let's say, a basketball game, and everyone's wearing the same color. We're all wearing red. And what happens when we're all wearing red is suddenly, I may not know you, you may not know me, we may have paid tickets to come to the game, but we all know one thing. We're all cheering for one team. We have one goal in mind, and that is we're going to win the game. And we honestly believe that no matter what, we win. I said, okay, I like that. I like the sound of that. So how do we tie that back into over? And I was talking with Kevin. I was like, everyone's seeing red. I don't know what to call it, but everyone's just wearing red. And I don't know. He's like, we can call it seeing red. I'm like, duh. Well, duh, that works. And suddenly it's caught on, and most of y'all are wearing red. And we got red on the stage and red on me and red on the screens, and we're seeing red. And so for our foundation scripture for tonight, I want to, this is what we're going to be using. And it's Ephesians 2:13. Y'all bear with me. It's the first time I'm using this thing. And I'm not going to lie, I've been practicing. I was there yesterday. I'm like, okay, if I got to read this and I got to flip over to this and I can do this, I think it's going to work. We'll find out. If there's any awkward pauses, go with it. It's okay. Ephesians 2:13, I'm going to read it out of the New Living. And it says, but now you, that's you, have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought to him through the what? The blood of Christ. That's where we're going. How do we see one another through the blood of Christ? Because according to this scripture, that's what we go through. There's two purposes to today's message. One, everyone's, for the most part, most of y'all have heard some preacher somewhere preach on love. And that is a great thing. We can all use as much of that as possible. And so my first main point is to just remind y'all of how important this topic is. Two, is to show us, myself included, on how to see each other through that love. Okay? I mentioned this in the first service the second service, when I was, unbeknownst to me, called upon by Pastor George to answer what we're going to be doing tonight. And he said, what are we going to be going over? And I made this statement, I'm going to use it again. When dealing with one another in the church specifically, I want to deal specifically with our church body, this group, the Bridge, the MIC people, but we can really use this anywhere we go. But I think if we focus it here, it'll help. Whenever you're dealing with somebody, there's two things that come up. One, you got to figure out who that person is. It's going to happen. You start talking with somebody, you're going to find something out about this person. They don't like baseball. It's okay. We can pray for that. They like country music. We can pray for that too. I'm kidding. This person's from Germany originally. This person's dad was in the military. We learn the basic things of what this person is. And a lot of times when you're dealing with a person, you will determine your involvement with that person right then and there. Whether it's through Facebook and you're Facebooking and you're going, hi, how are you? And it turns into a 45-minute conversation. You will determine something about that person. Maybe you pull up their info page and you say, oh, they like that. Nope, we're good. Go back, homepage. We're done. Next person. Start moving on. I'm not friending you. And so we'll establish some guidelines regarding that person. And a lot of times, and especially in the world's perspective, if there's no connection there, we'll completely dismiss each other. It's just, we may run to each other. Hey, how you doing? I love Christ. Are you doing good? Yeah, we're doing good. That's it. That's all we do. The difference between a Christian by name and a Christian of action, a brother and sister in Christ, is what we do between establishing who that person is and who that person is to us. Does that make sense? Because what happens usually is we'll come across somebody, okay, I've now established some parameters on who you are. We have no connection. God bless you. Be on your way. That's it. That's what Danny was talking about earlier, and I mentioned this when we were in prayer, and I tried to say it in a not harsh way, and that was, if it wasn't for the Lord, Danny and I would probably have nothing to do with each other. We just wouldn't. He's a Cardinals fan. We don't talk about that. He's from St. Louis. He raps. I didn't have a clue about what was going on. I didn't listen to rap music. I didn't know what that was about. I didn't even know you could preach through it. I really had no intention of running into him. We just found ourselves in a situation where we were helping at 1440 down the hill, and we just kind of went working together. And through the course of time, we had to start, conversing and working together and doing some stuff. And it was really the Lord that intervened on that, because suddenly there came up times where the more we made a point of talking, well, something would come up with Danny, and I'd be like, hey, I can pray for that for you. Or something would come up with me, and he'd say, hey, man, I can pray for that for you. Why? Because the more we talked, the more we started to establish not just, okay, this person doesn't like this, and this person doesn't like that. When you start to dig deeper, guess what? You find out, okay, this person's called to do that. Wait a second, there's a gift on this person. Wait a second, I really struggle with that, and that person is really good at it. He was really good on stage. I wasn't. I just wasn't. When I was in high school, I wouldn't have done this kind of stuff. I didn't like getting in front of people. But Danny, it just came naturally to him, and I started sticking around him. It kind of rubbed off on me. And here I am. And, there were other people that came through my life that really, again, there's no reason, according to the world standards, for me to have anything to do with them. But had it not been for God, they wouldn't have impacted my life in the way that they did. And so how does this tie back in? Somebody Twittered. It pulled it up. You put my name on there, too. Who's tweeting? I can pull this up while we're doing this, by the way. Y'all start tweeting. I can see it. By the Bridge DFW. That's probably Carissa, I would imagine. So let me, first thing we want to do is I want to take you all to 1 John chapter 4. So how do we tie this in with the message? First thing I want to do, there's really two things. A lot of times you got guys, we got 3 points for this message, we got 4 points in the middle, we got 15 points for this message. And those are really great messages, and I really wish I could come up with like 15 ways on how to do this and 13 ways on how to do that. I can't. I got two things for you. We're going to keep it simple, and we're going to move on. And I got a clock in here. Ooh, Jonathan Kurth just tweeted, too. This is fun. I like this. This is real easy. And then we're going to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to start in... I'll start at verse 11. It says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other." That's not deep, okay? That's basically like going to your math teacher and saying, "Look, okay, 2 + 2 = 4. That's it. Surely we ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us." And I want to sit on that for just a minute. Do y'all understand what he's saying there? "But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us." Meaning that our display of God in us, or that just action that comes when God is actually resting in, living in, and is guiding your life, is your love walk. That's what it is. That's your testimony. How we love is our testimony of what God's doing in us and how much we're pursuing him. Move on. Next verse. "And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us." It's what we just said. "Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love." They are relating his love to God himself. And in that, he's finding his trust. "God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." Again, this isn't deep. You just got to catch up because it goes back and forth. God is love. Love is God. God is love. Love is God. God is love. God. Get the picture? "And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live with Jesus here in this earth. Such love has no fear." And this verse, if you've been here for any amount of time, this is what we know. "Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we are not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first." And here's what I want to focus on. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a Christian, a brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God, whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. He's given us a what? A command. This isn't, "Hey guys, you know, if it's okay with y'all, I'd like for y'all to do this. You know, it'd be really great. It'd be splendid. I'd enjoy that." No, it's a command. Where'd it go? Scroll down. There. "Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters." Somebody else just tweeted. Nathan Adams tweeted. I'm fine with this. So what is that saying? Am I saying that to be like, to say, if you don't get along with people, you're out. You're done. No, I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not even saying you got to get along with somebody. How many of y'all go to church? Raise your hands. Y'all are really slow on the raising hand thing. How many of y'all, I didn't ask a question yet. Wait. How many of y'all have met a person while you're at church? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of y'all have met a person at church and y'all just clicked? It was great. Raise your hand. How many of y'all met somebody at church and you're thinking, "Dear Lord, if I never have to meet this person again, I'd be okay with it." Okay? It is not saying that if you think that, you're out. And I want to give you an example of this. And I said, "Lord, how do I put this? How do I show love even in the situations where we're dealing with the people who are like, you've got to be kidding me, right? Are you serious? This person's giving me the heebie-jeebies. They're giving me the awkward eye. They're yelling at me. They're not doing this." We even have this in the church. Why? Because you got people in the church. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Okay, you're not, that's just a fact. And we got to get over that fact and press on towards love. And so I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, what's a good example of this? And I never would have thought of this up until now, obviously. And I thought about David's relationship with Saul. And when it first kind of settled down in me, I'm like, nah, you kidding me? Saul tried to kill him. He's hiding in caves. There's no way. But I actually went and looked. This is 1 Samuel 26. I'm going to start in verse 5. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, David slipped over to Saul's camp one night to look around. Now, those of you all don't know, we're talking about David. It's a guy that went in, killed the giant Philistine, went in, fought a whole bunch of wars, you know, warrior for Israel, very popular. Saul didn't like it, and he threw a spear at him, started hunting him. This is now not the first, but I believe the second time where David's getting ready to slip in and basically be standing over him while he's sleeping. And just be like, you know, everyone's asleep and we could end this right now. He slipped over to Saul's camp one night, look around. Saul and Abner, son of Ner. I would never name a kid Ner. The commander of his army were sleeping inside a ring formed by the slumbering warriors. So David says, who will volunteer to go in there with me? Let's think about that for a minute. Who wants to go with me by myself to go get around a whole bunch of warriors that are sleeping in a giant circle that really want to kill us right now? And so David asked Amalek, I think I said that right, the Hittite, and Abishai, son of Zeruiah, wouldn't name a kid that either, Joab's brother. Now Joab, I can see. Joab's a cool name. And then Abishai replied, I'll go with you. Now part of me wonders, is the other guy looking at him going, I ain't going, you go with him. Or is he going, I like to think he's saying, hey, I'll go with you. I'll go. This could be fun. We've done this. We're the mighty men of David. We've come out of worse situations. We've got some mighty men here that have killed hundreds of themselves. We can do this. We know we can do this. I like to think that. So anyway, so David and Abishai went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep with his spear stuck in the ground beside his head. That's convenient. You got the guy that wants to kill you. He's right there. And you got a spear just waiting for you. Stuck in the ground. Abner and the soldiers were lying and sleeping around him. They were sleeping really hard. Actually, it says the Lord put his spirit of sleep over him. And then Abishai said, God has surely handed your enemy over to you at this time. He whispered to David, like this, let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't need to strike twice. In other words, we can end this right now and I'll do it so quick, nobody will hear anything. We can get out of here and we're done. What's David say? And I want to pay attention to this. He said, no, don't kill him. For who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? What is he seeing first? Before he's seeing his enemy, before he's seeing Saul the man, he's seeing the anointing. Surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he will die of old age in battle. He understood the Lord's ability to provide on David's behalf. The Lord forbid that I should kill the one he has anointed. He's under orders. And how is this love? Because since we're talking about David, who has a relationship with God and God is love, love is speaking to him and saying, look, I'm telling you right now, I don't care what it looks like, you're not to kill him. Because don't forget that this isn't just the guy that was hunting him down, had him hiding in caves and trying to kill him. This is the man that's in between him and his calling. David's already been anointed king. If you look back, Samuel had anointed him some time before. He could, in his own mind, I can imagine standing there, if I'm David, and this guy has been chasing me all over the place. I have won battles for this guy. He's got me hiding with the enemy, hiding in caves. He's got me separated from my family. He's got me separated from the thing that I was told years ago that I was called to do. I got a spear right in the ground. I got a guy that likes me that's willing to end this for me. We could walk out, and theoretically, we could be done. We could be good to go. But what happened? This is a man who also wrote in Psalms 23, where to put it? I think I put it right down. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What's he doing? He's putting his trust in love. He's got a revelation, same revelation that John would write many, many years later that we just read. That God himself is love. Again, so how do we tie this back in? we're going to come up against people that we may love dearly and they may wind up being dear friends for the rest of our life. We may come up against people that we just don't like. We just don't relate to. They might bother us the wrong way. There's nothing there. And it would be real easy to say something, do something, smart off. And basically all of us have. I can raise my hand, both hands, a foot, and everything in between to tell you that, look, I've done this. However, we're going to a new place. We're seeing red. A lot of times, I wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but I had, y'all know those 3D glasses? I don't know, a lot of the high schoolers started wearing these around, so I had my sister paint some red for me. And I wasn't sure if I was going to use them, but I think I am, to kind of set an example. A lot of times in the church and in the body, when we're dealing with people, we use love like a pair of glasses. In that, we find somebody, oh man, it's so nice to meet you. Praise the Lord. Oh, you are so great. And then you come across somebody and you find out, how are you doing? Oh, you're from Arkansas and you like to drive four-wheelers through the mud and you've never been to church before. And that's great, but I really, you know, we're gonna move right on. I hope you have a great time. I'll never see you again. I have nothing to do with you. That is not going to build a family. That's not gonna build a body. I wouldn't treat my own family member like that. And I got family members that may not necessarily agree with me. May not necessarily agree with what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, what's going on. But for the most part, I wouldn't do that. Now there's exceptions. But you still go with an understanding of, look, that's first and foremost family. And you deal with it through love. That's what seeing red is. That's what I'm talking about. And when we started, when Kevin and I came to the conclusion that this is what we're going to do for the message tonight, I was like, yes, I'm so excited. We're going to do this and be great. And I know what we're going to do for this one. Little did I know that the next 3 months would be the biggest test of walking through this that I could have ever imagined. I got people at church not calling me back. I got people saying this about me. I got stuff going on at work. And so-and-so's doing this. So-and-so's doing that. This happened. Why'd this go on? This situation came up, and you're throwing stuff on the ground. You're upset. You can't figure out what's going on. And that was me. And I was driving home. I think it was in the middle of June. I was driving home in the middle of June. And this stuff just running through my head. I'm playing everything back that's going on, and I'm thinking, man, I can't stand this. This person did this to me. This person said that to me. They said I got people, somebody at work who's supposed to be a believer, and they just shut their mouth off about my church. And I got this person that said this about so-and-so, and this person said this about me. No. It's going over and over and over and over. And then I got a text from Kevin. He's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, woo, it's going great. He's like, yo, I'm so excited about seeing red and da-da-da. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I missed it. I'm missing it. And I had to go before the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to show me how to do this. I want to get to the same place that David and John were at. John, who went through persecution, went through the struggles that he went through. I think John was the one they said, historically, they said they dipped him in oil or something like that, and they couldn't kill him. But the fact is, they dipped him in oil. I mean, it was boiling oil trying to kill him. They sent him to the island of Patmos, and the dude turns around and writes Revelation. He's got another revelation of the love of Christ. He referred to himself as the one who Jesus loved. And yet David, who went through wars, dealt with Saul, had to kill a giant, had his own kids come up against him. And at the end of it all, the Bible records him as a man who was after God's own heart. Why? Because he was pursuing love itself when he had an understanding that God is love, and if he's going to act anything out, if he's going to see anything through, if he's going to see things through in his life and the lives of others, he's got to see things through the eyes of love. And so, hold on, awkward pause. Hang with me. Let's go to John 13:34. Again, this is John, a little bit earlier. And this is out of the New King James. It says, "New commandment I give to you." Again, he's using this word commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is not saying, guys, you know, really, it'd be really great. And y'all really would do well if you did this. Saying, look, this is a commandment I give you. That you love one another as I have loved you. This is Jesus talking. Also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He's not saying, you know what, if you guys go out and heal 10,000, they will know you're my disciples. If you go out and minister to the nations, they will know that you are my disciples, which these men would wind up doing. If you will go out, spread the good news, lay hands on the sick, see them recovered, then they will know you're my disciples. What's he say? If you love one another as I command you, then they'll know you're my disciples. Because first and foremost, that comes first. That's what takes place. See, I got another one. I got like a whole bunch of scriptures here. I'm going to give them to you just because I want to. And it's nice. And I found them all. Let us therefore make every, this is Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And this is his commandment. This is 1 John 3:23. This is his commandment that we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Now wait a second, that's salvation. We believe in the name of Jesus, in Jesus Christ, his son, and love one another as he gave us a commandment. Again, the word commandment. Not a suggestion. He's telling me to do it. He's telling you to do it. Why? Because this is the key. We can go on being good little Christians and sons and daughters of God and go out in the world and testify and tell people all about it. But if we step into this building, if we step into our church as a body and we can't get along and we can't show love towards one another, then according to the Word of God, it is completely a moot point and it doesn't matter beans. But God. Romans 15, verse 7, the Amplified. Welcome and receive to your hearts one another. Then even as Christ was welcomed and received for you for the glory of God. Romans 14, verse 19. I'm just going to keep reading these till y'all get the idea. And this is in the New Living, and it's the very first part of it. It says, so then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Listen, I missed that one. I have missed that one big time. And I've had to ask for repentance for that. But we're moving forward. See, we're, a lot of times with our age group, we're referred to as the, you know, the next generation. And, you know, the next generation is going to do this. Look, folks, there's always going to be a next generation. But we have an opportunity to be the generation of love. We have an opportunity to be the generation that brings unity in a world that is crying out for it. The world knows what sin is, and they know sin's bad. What's the difference between the world and us? We have revelation of, yeah, sin is sin, but we know how good God is to save us from that sin. And that's the difference, because that was love himself, and he intervened on my behalf. And if we can come together and realize that this is the key, then we are that much more potent when we go out and we come across people who are crying in the street, who are struggling. Or maybe you can be like the person, I was at my job a couple weeks ago, and one of the situations that came up was my car was broken down, and it wasn't working. And it had been that way for a couple weeks. And I'm sitting in the computer, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, oh man, this computer, car's not working, I'm going to do this. This is going to take place. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I don't know what I understand. And this lady comes, and she sits down, she got the computer next to me, she's got to do some paperwork. And she just seemed really down. I followed Carla, and Carla's like, how you doing? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm doing good. No. And I said, how you doing, Carla? And she just starts crying. And I said, are you okay? And this was when that hailstorm had come through a little bit north of us. And she said, no. She said, the hailstorm came through last night. It was softball-sized hail. It took out all three of my vehicles. Our house is torn to bits. The tree landed on our house and the neighbor's house. They're expecting us to pay for it, and I have no idea what we're supposed to do. Well, all of a sudden, my little car problem wasn't such a big deal. And I really had to repent. And I'm like, Lord, what am I doing here whining? You said you know my needs. I'm a son of the Heavenly Father. I walk according to your love. What am I doing here moping? When I got somebody here who's not saved, who's searching for answers, who's searching for life, who's searching for love himself and doesn't know where to find it. Am I so consumed in my inability to see through love itself that I'm not seeing an opportunity to love right next to me? That changed my perspective. That's when it started to click for me. It took a while. And I'm not saying we're going to walk out of here tonight and we're just going to be, you know, hi-ho, hi-ho, we got this, we know what we're doing now. This will probably require time on our behalf. And it will require a day-by-day commitment to it. Because it's very easy to go back to glasses, to seeing, putting our glasses on and trying to see somebody. It requires a commitment to simply see the blood of Christ on the person that's right in front of you. Because had it been nobody but that person, he would have still done it. In the same way that if it had only been you, he would have still died on that cross for you. Because you're worth it, and that person's worth it, and you're worth it, and you're worth it, and you're worth it, and you're worth it. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I operate according to that first and foremost. This is good news. This is a good thing. To recognize this, to walk in this. A generation of love. A generation that caused unity in the church. When we've got churches coming all over the woodwork and no one of them is talking to each other. We got people coming into a building for years and years and years and they'll never cross paths. Because they come in, they sit in their service, and they leave. Been guilty of that too. Why? Because, well, I'm here because I got to get something. Well, what you need may be sitting right next to you. And you don't know it. Because like Danny said earlier, that person may be able to witness to people that you would never even be able to get near. He has doors opening to him that I would never be able to get to because the anointing on his life is different than the anointing on mine. And I'm watching it, and he's watching it, and he's pressing for it. And there's people that are coming and wanting to hear the good news from him. That's why he's the paper boy. Or duh paper boy. Pardon me. I'm working on it. Likewise with you. I know when we're young and we're, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, we don't have a clue what we're doing half the time. It just feels like I don't know what I'm doing. This is going on. So-and-so's got it figured out. I'm trying to get this going. Listen, first and foremost, you know this, that you are loved by God Almighty himself. Let me say this. If you've come in this room tonight and you don't know what that's like, don't you dare leave yet. Because the world is going to give you what it can. And what it can give you is this false idea of success. And success is your ability to know love. But ultimately, you're going to die. We're going to pass it on to the next person. And at best, you may be someone famous enough that we build a statue to. According to the Word of God, though, you would have eternal life. You would become part of a fraternity. A brotherhood, a sisterhood of believers who from this day forth are going forward and pressing into the things of God. We are operating in our callings. And we will see the multitude saved. We will see the people come. And we will see the people pouring. Why? Because we first and foremost see them through the eyes of Christ. I don't care what the world sees. Amen. Period. What time is it? Woo! I've gone too long. Anybody else tweeted yet? Yep. Before we conclude today's session, Ephesians 3:14, and this is going to be kind of long, but I want to read this because I've been carrying this water bottle long and I still haven't had any water. I want to read this because as I was getting into this and started reading it, I find myself praying this over myself, over those of us here, because it has to do with what we're talking about. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. And I just want you all to listen. It says, "For this reason, seeing the greatness of the plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man, the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality." Boy, that'd be cool. I want the Holy Spirit to impact me with his love so much that it affects my very own personality. "May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love. That you," listen to what follows after that, "that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints of God the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him," if we've been here in this church at any length of time, you will have heard this, "by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us as a result of love himself, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That sums it up. His power, experiencing it in our lives, experiencing it through our generations, it all comes out of a place of being able to see love. That's why this is important. My ability to be effective in everything that God has called me to do goes strictly through my ability to operate in love. Paul said that if I don't have love in my heart, I'm like a bunch of pots clanging around and everything I do is without meaning. That's Paul. That's the man who was not saved, met Jesus on Damascus Road, had an intervention, was blinded, was healed of being blind 3 days later, went and ministered to people that even the apostles themselves would have never ministered to. And he's saying, it's all without meaning if I didn't do it out of love. No one is impossible to love. Don't you ever let anyone tell you that. They may be hard to like, and they may be hard to get along with. They are not impossible to love because Christ loved you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from The Bridge. Connect with us online at thebridgedfw.com.